supposed to be doing, right? You know, I always wait till the last minute.
Distraction.
That's no kidding. All righty. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, I'm here with Nate from Strictly Diesel. He's on the east side of I-17,
yep,
north of Pinnacle Peak Road. The name of his store is Strictly Diesel, and he does diesel, but he also does gas and other stuff for the guys that own the diesels. He also works on their wives' cars.
That's right.
Because typically wives, the only diesel the wife might drive is like a Mercedes or something like
sure.
that. Sure. They're not likely to drive, especially an old, what's that old Chevrolet diesel that came out?
6.2?
Yeah.
6.2.
And then there was one before that. Wasn't there an Oldsmobile 5.9 or something?
Something like that, V8.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were miserable failures.
They were. Yeah.
You can't say, I made a lot of money on those, because nobody made money fixing those.
No.
Because there's no service manuals for them, and you had to find the problem, and oftentimes you got to bill for half an hour when it was really a four-hour job.
Exactly.
But you couldn't bill 4 hours because it would just show how dumb you were with those cars.
Right, right.
All righty, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, you're welcome to call us, 602-508-0960. Got a couple of things till we get callers. This is from Jim C. I'm not going to give you his last name. Mark and Renee, I enjoy your radio show, and I'm happy to contribute to your Secret Santa Club. The Secret Santa Club is, we run that, and what we do is a bunch of people donate, and then we usually go find, like I think this year they're going to do rest homes again. So they've gone to a bunch of rest homes, and we find elderly people with no families.
Oh, wow.
Then we buy them clothes and slippers and pants and sweatpants, and we buy them shavers. And we were at Walmart the other day. We bought, with other people's money, but Mark and Renee chip in.
Sure.
We bought three baskets for $729, and we got into the self-serve lane. Everybody else left. But we were only going to use one.
Sure.
But it was funny because my wife and I was looking, and I go, I didn't see you pick up this this cologne. And she says, yeah, the guys love it. So let me ask you a question. What's the name of the cologne the old guys like?
Stetson?
No.
No.
You were close.
I was close.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Aqua Velva.
Oh, that, yeah.
And Brute. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
And then on the ladies, we typically have their fingernails and toenails done once or twice. We have their hair done. But we give them coupons for that.
Nice.
And we've already paid that in advance. But we just matched the highest bid, the highest offer, and Larry Harker's is always the highest offer just to drive me crazy. But at least nice. The two of us. But that's what he's talking about. And he gave a nice donation anyway.
That's
he
cool.
pumped, Jim goes on to say he pumped gas in the old days. And the mechanics took him under their wings and taught him a lot. He's also been blessed with good health. And so this is kind of a payback with respect to him.
Sure.
And he says that he also enjoys the banter between Renee and I. But I'm telling you right now that there's been a couple of people that have chimed in with that, and I'm going to have to deal with that, Nate.
Renee's got her fan club.
She's got her own fan club.
Yeah, that's
and,
something.
Yeah, and I was looking for that other piece of paper, but he basically said, what is it that, why isn't Renee there? Oh, here it is. Mark, last week you mentioned your wife doesn't want to be in your show anymore. Well, she was mad at me that morning. I was wondering why she hasn't been on lately. Anyway, I like when she's on. I enjoy the show, but I think she makes the show more entertaining. Maybe you could pay her to be on, or she'd put up with some of the things you do that she doesn't like. And I said, well, it isn't that she doesn't want to. It's she'd rather be hunting down garage sales or be with the grandkids at their sports or their games. But she already misses me, but I'm holding on until she begs me and before I let her go back. And so she didn't get to send that email. Usually she'll send them. I'll write them, but she'll send them. But that wasn't something she got to do. 602-508-0960. You got a car question, a diesel question. If you've got a parts question, with respect to which cold air kit should I put on my diesel?
Sure.
You can probably talk about both of them.
Yeah.
And most any kind of car question, any kind of diesel question, we can give you good advice. We won't send you astray, and we won't thump our chests, and we won't tell you something that butters our bread. We're looking out after your best interest. So,
yes.
602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Actionado. This pleases me because when I refer people to a shop or they go on our website and find a shop and then I get a note back, every once in a while I get a bad note, but 99 out of 100. Mark, I took your advice and visited Action Auto today. He's up by you.
Yeah.
Deer Valley on I-17. I had a suspension problem with my Mazda. Nick was the first person I interacted with at the front desk. They evaluated my squeaky right front suspension. They test drove the car, put my car in a rack. He said I had a squeaking rubber bushing, and that was the culprit, but nothing was wrong with the part. And I had nothing to be concerned about. All of this, and they charged me nothing for the diagnosis and analysis. I'm extremely pleased and know where I want to take my vehicles for future service. We get that a lot. I get lots of nice letters, but I get I took my car in, and they say I need all my bushings, or I need this, or I need that. Not too long ago, one of my old-timers had a car in there that they had a noise, a suspension noise on a bounce.
Right.
And so he said, I'm going to run to the store. And he comes back with some dishwashing liquid. And then he puts it into a spray bottle. But he dilutes it with a little bit of water. And then he sprays all over this bushing. And then he drops the car on the ground and he bounces it a couple times. He lifts it back up. He does that two or three times. And it goes away.
Wow.
And he says, the dishwashing liquid has a lubricant. And he says, and it doesn't hurt the bearings. Or the bushings, it doesn't cause them to collapse or soften or anything. And I think he charged them a $12 or $15 hoist fee. And I think we're saying something to the customer when we do that.
Sure.
I think we're telling them that we like them and
earning their trust.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good. So anyway, that was he didn't leave his name, but I like it that he was pretty good about
very that. Nice.
Yeah. 602-508-0960. You got a car question. Now's the time to call in. We get kind of busy the second hour, and typically the second hour from a quarter after all the way till the top of the hour, we're swamped.
Yeah.
So now's the time to get in. Okay. There's guys in the public arena, and I was listening to one of their radio shows the other day, and they said that they put synthetic oil in your car, and they bring you back in 5,000 miles. And we get a chance to look your car over to make sure it's okay. You're rolling your eyes.
Not really. No.
Okay. All right. And we make sure your car, during the oil change, we make sure your car is lubed. Okay. Well, synthetic oil, depending on the application, goes between 10 and 12,000 miles. And synthetic oil change in a passenger car could be two or three times a regular oil change. He's shaking his head, folks. You got to say, yeah. They can't see you shaking your head.
Can't see me.
So I don't know why we'd put synthetic oil in your car and then call you in or put your sticker at 5,000 miles. I would much rather just sell you conventional oil for that $29.95 oil change and bring you in every 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 miles. I don't understand why we're selling you the synthetic on the front side and bringing you in early. I think that's kind of self-serving because I'm clipping you both ways. I'm getting the extra money on the synthetic, but I'm going to get to see you. And in the old days, we called it a reoccurring sales opportunity. Reoccurring sales opportunity. And so what is that? RSO?
Yeah.
And it was a code.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just didn't like that. I didn't like the idea that it was being presented as a positive when, to me, it wasn't a positive, not at least what I feel like. And then they talk about how many times your car should be in the repair shop a year.
That depends on how you take care of it, I would say.
And what what goes wrong.
What goes wrong.
And
how old
miles,
is it?
Bingo.
Yeah, yeah.
How many miles a year you drive.
Exactly.
Here's a question. What causes an alternator to fail prematurely?
Bad battery, usually.
Okay.
Or bad ground or something. Leading to the alternator overworking.
But typically, see if you agree with me, and you're welcome not to agree with me. If we have an alternator battery go bad, or if we have a bad ground, typically the battery's just dead and we got to go fix those things. How many cooked batteries do you see on an annual basis?
Not very many.
Me too.
Yeah.
One, when
yeah.
the regulator on the alternator goes bad and it cooks the battery.
Sure.
But the question is what causes an alternator to fail prematurely? Really, nothing.
Define
2 minutes.
Define prematurely.
Earlier than whatever.
Yeah.
The idea is even if the belt was slipping and we created a tremendous heat with the belt, that wouldn't cause the alternator to fail. I think the alternator fails when it's time to go to heaven, when it's time to go to alternator heaven.
Yeah.
And I would think most alternators are going to fail somewhere in the 75,000-mile range, give or take 25,000.
Give or take, you bet.
And there's no reason to put on an alternator because you think it's going to fail. So if I said to all my customers, you need to replace your alternator because they typically fail at 50,000 miles, how would you think that would work?
It wouldn't go over very well.
Well, it wouldn't go over with you and me.
Yeah.
But there would be certain customers that would feel a comfort in replacing their alternator.
Sure.
And then why choosing an auto repair shop to call home that could save you from needing your car to be towed? So it must be some kind of a towing arrangement.
Let's see.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Nevertheless. All right, we've got a caller. Who might that be, Neil?
That would be Bill.
Bill, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
You know, Nate and I are doing good. Neither one of us is wearing handcuffs and our wives aren't here.
Well, it's a beautiful rum and coffee morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I have a 2011 Ram 1500 5.7 liter.
Okay.
And I am getting ready to start being a delivery man with it, like runs to Tucson and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I had a guy that was was the equipment manager for Buckeye.
Uh-huh.
And he did a tune-up, and I don't think he did a tune-up. You know, I think he said he did a tune-up, but didn't do the tune-up.
Uh-huh.
My mileage has gone from 17 hauling a trailer to like 14. And I was wondering, when I used to drive over the road for Swift, they had different chipsets that they would put in the diesels to create more torque or more power or better fuel economy. In the computer for the 1500, the Ram, is there such a thing in the computer that you can use to economize? I'm not looking for power. I'm looking for economy. Is there
okay.
something I can do for that?
I don't know that there's anything. Most of the performance enhancements, Nate, I think are really to make him go faster. Yeah. I mean, gas and diesel.
Yeah. Well, gas especially, you're going to have to run premium fuel and towing, I wouldn't necessarily say you're going to get better mileage out of it by any means. So
I have something that's much cheaper, if you're interested, Bill.
What's that?
You take a raw egg and tape it to the throttle pedal, and you drive it. Oh, and then if you're a chicken about that, get a hard-boiled egg and tape it to the throttle, and I guarantee you, you'll get 25% better fuel economy. But I want to comment about the guy on the tune-up. The easiest way to find out is look at the repairer, see what he did, and pull one spark plug. Because if he didn't put plugs in it, you can tell that in a heartbeat. Then you can pull a couple more. Number two, the weather change, when we change seasons, we're going to lose fuel economy, and we just went from fall to winter to some extent. And we have more moisture in the air, and it's colder. Any other ideas?
No, I agree.
Okay. So I don't know that it's fair to say, he did a tune-up and I lost fuel economy, because if you're in that time frame between fall and winter or beginning of fall to winter, then we are going to lose some fuel economy because of the humidity and because of the temperature change. When it's colder, we're going to use more fuel. That's why they call them cold air kits.
You never know, too, what crap they're giving us at the gas station.
You're right. You're right about that. Anyway, good luck to you, Bill, and thank you for calling. Anybody else? We have five lines open, 602-508-0960. Minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. The name of this show is Under the Hood. I'm Mark Salem, and Nate from Strictly Diesel is sitting next to me. So if you have a gas or diesel question, or if you just want to ask general questions, we're both going to chime in, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Robert's on the line, and I'll be with you in just a half second, Robert. Blackwell Automotive is at 40th Street, and what is it, dear? Greenway.
Yes, yeah. Greenway.
And Tom's a good guy. He has a great shop. He's been around 20 years or more, and that's kind of important to all of us. So if you live in that northeast Scottsdale area, so we're talking from the 51 to the 101 and even east of that and either north of the 101, then if you call me and ask me what shop should I take my car to, I would suggest that you try Blackwell Automotive on 40th Street and Greenway, just north of Greenway on the west side of the road. That's Blackwell Automotive. Robert, how can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. I appreciate your show a lot.
Thank you.
I've got a question that I think is inside your corral, but a little bit peripheral,
okay.
And that is about buying a used car.
Okay.
I've been looking for a particular car on, you know, Craigslist and Auto Trader and Car Gurus and all the rest. And what I'm finding is I'll see a car that looks great, it's right in my ballpark, but the price is 20-30% less than I would expect. And I read through the listing and it says, front bumper was scratched, replace the plastic cover, salvage title. That doesn't sound right to me.
Those two don't match.
What are the dangers of a salvage title? What's the impact of it?
I'll tell you real quick, very few insurance companies will cover a salvage titled car.
Oh, okay.
Let me explain. I wrecked my truck and it's worth $15,000 and the repair is $12,000. So the insurance company says, we're not going to do that. So they just trash the truck. It goes to an auction and it has a salvage title. Otherwise, the insurance company has designated this not roadworthy. Somebody buys it at the auction. They take it home in their backyard and they put it together. Now, we have so many safety devices in our trucks.
Absolutely.
Airbags, how the windshield pops out, not in, how the roof collapses, the seat backs, all of that. Agreed?
Agreed.
Even the bumpers have sensors.
Exactly.
Yep.
And they also have 5-mile-an-hour shock absorbers on the front and the rear. So there's no guarantee that any of those have been put back correctly. So the insurance companies want nothing to do with them. Now, unless this car was a 1965 Buick and the front bumper and bumper cover exceeded the value of the car. Yeah. You know, the thing I would give you is two things. Number one, get yourself a membership to Carfax and Carfax every used car that you look at. Number two, familiarize yourself with KBB.com, Kelley Blue Book, and go in there and put it in and determine, you know, wholesale, trade-in, street value, on and on and on, all the different levels.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, what do you have an idea of, Nate, of what you charge for what we call a used car checkover?
$150 for that, yeah.
And everybody I know is between $100 and $150.
Yep.
Everybody is.
Yep.
Yours is a little bit different because you're probably doing a lot of diesel stuff,
yep.
Big
absolutely.
Trucks and diesel stuff.
Yep.
So there's guys out there from $75 to $150, but that's money. And we did one not too long.
That's negligible when you're taking the risk.
Not too long ago, we did one, and we found $500 worth of work. The lady took it back to the dealer. She negotiated a slightly better price. They fixed all of our work. And she said it was the best $100 she'd ever spent.
Yep.
I was going to say, that's the best investment she ever made.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Okay, well, so if I see something, I guess my first issue with them would be bumper cover, salvage title, come on.
Right.
Right. You know, that sounds like head-on collision material, not
agreed.
Scratching the bumper cover.
Yep.
And is that something that a used car checkover, if I took the car in to one of your shops and said, owner says had to replace the bumper cover, is that something you could kind of focus in on a little bit and say, oh, no, it was more than that, or look at it and say, that sounds like about right?
Nate, what percentage of the time are your guys going to pick that up on a used car checkover?
Very small percentage.
If they're told about it.
I know, we're going to miss. A small percentage we're going to miss.
Small percentage, yes.
But
we're nobody men, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the front rails on the car are all bent and hammered out, then the front bumper means nothing. Yeah, the front bumper been replaced in the cover, but the frame rails behind it. We had one in the other day that literally had a water line about 12 inches above the floor underneath the dash. So it was a flood car.
Yeah.
And it had a salvage title.
Yeah.
So... You're not going to win with the salvage title, but you better make sure your insurance company will cover that, because buying one and finding out your insurance company won't cover it would probably make you mad.
Okay. Yeah, good advice. I'm really wary of them, but you know, some of these cars are just such huge bargains.
There's a reason it's a bargain.
It makes me suspicious. One or two of them might be worth checking out.
Well, there is a market for the salvage. The guys that have salvage yards buy the salvage cars because some portion of the car is still good. The interior, the front suspension, because it was hit in the back. Perhaps, I'm not a fan of used airbags, but airbags. Doors, windows, quarter panels, fenders, all that stuff is available, yep. And they don't care. But my advice to you would, I'd stick pretty close to Auto Trader, and I'd be in there. If I were you, that's where I'd buy a used car, would be an Auto Trader. And under the best of condition, you'd find something.
That's where I bought my last one from a private party, and it's been a great car.
Yeah, you find an old guy, and he's got a three-ring notebook, and he has every receipt he ever. I mean, when he pulled
it. That's kind of what I got. He put a mark on the car, and it was 4 years old.
Exactly. Exactly. Every time he wiped a bug off the windshield, he's documented that. He's got all of his gasoline receipts, and he's plugged in there between trade-in and private party.
Yeah, and there's your dream seller.
Yes.
Right there.
Yep. And don't be afraid to make stupid offers and say, hey, this will probably be good for the next 2 days, and I'll probably find something I like. But, you know, I know you want $3,100, and I'm going to offer you $2,850, and just let me know. But we've got, like, the clock ticking here for 2 days. And
yep.
I've had pretty good luck with that. Anyway, got to run, but thank you very much for calling, Robert.
Thank you.
602-508-0960. We're going to be taking a break in about a minute. We'll be in the break for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll take your call. 602-508-0960. You know how close I come to giving my cell phone?
Yeah, almost.
All the time.
Almost. Last time, too.
Yeah, 602-508-0960. Nate from Strictly Diesel. My name's Mark, and we're here every Saturday from 10 to 12 talking about cars. And my email is mark@marksalem.com, and I'll answer that personally, mark@marksalem.com. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some other stuff, and we're going to talk about what you can do to make your car last a little longer that most people don't do. So that kind of narrows the list down.
Narrows the list, yeah.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that just in case you and your husband argue about that at the dinner table last night. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. Nate is sitting next to me from Strictly Diesel. Welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour of the 10 o'clock, Mark Salem with Nate from Strictly Diesel. Nate's on the east side, west side, east side.
East side.
Oh, God almighty. I've got so many pieces. You can tell him Mark has like, I don't know, 5-10 pieces of paper.
He does. His desk is littered with paper right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm trying to keep it all separately. But anyway, Nate has Strictly Diesel, and we consult with him as well. Another important thing is I tell you about different facilities that I say to you, I have blessed them, whatever that means. But I practice what I preach. My staff wiped the left rear fender off my truck the other day. And we're in South Tempe, and I took it to Phoenix Body Works, which was 19th Avenue in Deer Valley.
Yep.
And then we picked it up there. The reason I took it up there, because I knew he'd do a good job.
Yep.
And he also told me the bedside doesn't bolt on, it welds on, and there's no way I'm letting my guys with a stick welder get close to my truck. And they did, my wife said they did such a seamless job, you can't see, where they attached the bed to the fender. She says, in addition to that, they detailed your truck, and it's never looked that good since you owned it, since you bought it.
Wow.
She said, because I haul the dogs and horses.
Sure.
And in the back seat of the truck, there's saddles with hair all over them. So she gets mad at me. She gets into the car, and not too long ago, you know the plastic bags that you get for your dry cleaning?
Uh-huh.
She had one over her head. I said, you know, get out of my truck. You know, I'm not going to like you. Real quick before I get to Hector and Jim. Automatic Transmission Exchange, Phil specifically, has been in the transmission repair business since 1968. His staff, and this is Phil's staff, who's been there since Fred Flintstone started building cars, they're experts in diagnostic, repairs, and replacement in that order. He says people assume that as soon as their transmission starts acting up, they need a new one. He says only 20% of the time we can't fix the problem without rebuilding the transmission. So you have an 80% chance of having it fixed. So anyway, 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. If you drive down that road, you'll know real quick that you've driven by that time, that shop a lot. Let's go to the phones. Hector, you're first.
Yes, Mr. Salem. I have an 07 Honda Pilot, and I was about to clean out the throttle bodies with the carburetor, or the, yeah, the carburetor spray, but I've only done cable-driven carburetors, and I was told the electrical ones, you have to do them completely different because of all the sensors and stuff. Wondered if you had any insight on that.
What do you think?
Pull the intake tube off, spray it as it's idling.
Yeah.
It's probably going to stall several times.
I wonder it... I know the motor drives the throttle blades.
Yes.
But I wonder if there's ever a neutral in there. I don't know the answer to this question, to be honest with you. But let me explain what I do know. There is a small gap all the way around the throttle blades where we should have air. Okay? So air goes past this gap all the way around the throttle blades. Now, I want you to picture that you're standing on the driver's fender and the throttle blade is 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. When the throttle blade rotates from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, it's now horizontal, and that's wide open throttle. Okay? When it closes, it pulls this dirt to the top, and the bottom pulls it to the bottom. So every time you open and close that, this ring of dirt around the blades has inhibited air to flow during the idle process. So cleaning up the throttle blades is just that. It's not necessarily the blades themselves. It's this ring of dirt around the throttle blades that is when they're closed. So first thing you do is pull off the air horn and gently with your fingers see if you can, the key's in your pocket, by the way, see if you can push and open up the throttle blades. If you can, I put a screw, long screwdriver with a rag on the end. I spray it really good with throttle cleaner or carb cleaner, and I just kind of open the throttle blades and I just polish all the way around. If you can't move the throttle blades, then I'd spray the heck out of them. I'd start it up, run it for 3 or 4 minutes. Nate's shaking his head, so he's agreeing with me. And then I'd shut it off, and I'd do that a couple of times. If you want to clean the throttle blades, go ahead. You're not going to hurt the catalytic converter or anything like that. But in my opinion, okay, the dirt around, we want to have 1% air past the throttle blades when the throttle blades are closed. But if we have this ring of dirt around there, that kind of shuts off that airflow. Does that make sense?
Okay. So just spray the cleaner on the rag and not into the actual throttle body, because I don't want to mess up any of the sensors. That's what I've been
okay.
told left and right.
Okay. First of all, I want you to just take your finger and see if you can open the throttle blades. They're either going to pivot from the bottom back or from the top back, okay? If you can get that to open, then just hold them open, put your rag on the end, and clean it up. You're not going to mess anything up because the key's in your pocket.
Okay.
So, but don't force them. But if you find you can't open the throttle blades because they're firmly attached to a motor that has no clutch, then at that point you can still clean the front of the throttle blades and the ring around it without opening the throttle blades. You can still clean that. And you're going to use a can of carb spray with a straw on the end of
yes.
it so you can clean it.
Yes.
All righty?
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Jim, I understand you're in Arkansas?
Yes, sir. I'm way over here halfway between Interstate 30 and Interstate 40 in a direct line from approximately Marlton, Arkansas, and Mount Vernon, Arkansas, in the middle of right here around Mount Ida.
Okay.
And we got Lake Hamilton and Lake Ouachita that border the city, and of course we got the world's shortest parade every year. That's a mile long, and they have quite a big turnout. It's a big deal here in Hot Springs.
Well, good. So you're not in a truck traveling the freeways right now.
Well, I'm sort of, but, you know, I'm in a parking lot.
Okay. Well, we're
and
at
I'm
your...
On, and I'm on hands-free anyway.
Oh, well, nah. You know what? We're not the hands-free police here, buddy. What
yeah.
kind of question
yeah.
do you have?
Actually, I've got something to your gentleman that called in with the Dodge diesel 1500 with his problems, issues, what have you. Do you mind if I talk about a product?
Well, no, but let me tell you this. I don't think he had a diesel on that 1500. We're happy to talk about the Dodge, but the 1500 is a gas motor.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought for sure he said it was the diesel. Anyway, I've got the diesel in mine, and I've put a product on it called Bully Dog, and it changed the life of my diesel motor almost instantly. It just, the performance on it was just night and day. And of course, I've learned about the product through some overnight idiots, which is how they refer to themselves on nationwide radio overnight.
Yeah.
And I had it on three of the semis that I own, and I put it on my Dodge, and it does work for gas engines, but it's their biggest thing and their biggest seller is for diesel motors, but it will work on a gasoline motor, and it just plugs right into the module on the truck, and it's got a book and everything. It goes right with it.
Yeah.
It could help him out with some of his issues, I'm sure. And there's another group of guys. I know you've got to be very, very familiar with them, and that's the Sparks guys up there in Utah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And this is what they do. And
you
might want to check into.
Okay. And I think he might be right. It's a diesel. They put the 1500. They put that EcoDiesel in it.
EcoDiesel.
So it could be a 1500.
Yep.
And he's talking about the Bully Dog, which does make him run, depending on which level you pick.
Oh yeah.
It does make him run.
Night and day.
It makes him run regular. A little bit better, and then have grandma bolted into her seat because we're going to. And in defense of the Bully Dog, it is a good product, but the Banks is a good product as well.
Banks is another one.
And we installed a Banks the other day. It's plug and play.
Yep.
And it's really easy, but getting to the two back sensors at the back of the intake was a challenge. And we finally pulled some cowling off to get to them.
Sure.
But you got to unplug and plug in special wiring to the two sensors, and everything's fine. So I think he might be right that his EcoDiesel does have his 1500 Dodge has an EcoDiesel, and I forgot about that. Okay. And thank you for reminding me about that.
That's all right.
All righty, we got open lines available, 602-508-0960. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Well, David, you're up first. How can we help you?
Yeah, I have a 2002 Mazda Protege, so basically Ford.
Okay.
And standard. And I recently bought it, and if I didn't push the clutch in all the way, of course it wouldn't start. 2 days ago, went to start it, it wouldn't start. Took it to AutoZone, and they couldn't get any readings on anything. The battery, and I forgot to tell you, when it's cold and it starts up, the serpentine motor kind of gives a squeal, but the first time I put on the brake, it stops squealing.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's a starter.
Okay. We can help you. We understand what you're saying. First of all, the serpentine belt on your car, I'm pretty sure, has a tensioner on it, and it shouldn't be squealing, and it shouldn't have anything to do with you applying the brakes. So I don't know what that is, but I think what you need to do is open up the hood before you start it and maybe have your wife or one of your kids start it and just kind of look at it. If it's the belt that's squealing, if you just take a garden hose and spray a little water on the belt and it goes away, then Mark is wrong, and you're going to have some kind of an idler pulley, or you're going to have to replace the belt, just depending on the mileage. As far as your no start, let me ask you one quick question. When you hit the key, does it click and nothing cranks, or is there
no sound at all?
Okay. All right. If you go to marksalem.com and click on FAQ 28, it's going to tell you how to diagnose your problem watching your headlights. Okay? So the headlights become a voltmeter. If you hit the key and they barely dim, but nothing happens. The starter's solenoid. If you hit the key and the headlights go completely out, it's a bad battery connection almost always. If you hit the key and the headlights go dimmer than they did before, and you let go and they come back on bright, white and bright, it's not the battery, that's the starter. But it will walk you through all of that. But basically, you're using your headlights as a voltmeter. They stay the same. They slightly dim. They go completely out and pop back on, or they go completely out and come back on slow, which is a bad battery connection.
Great. I
actually did that, and the lights don't, when you do that, it barely, the lights barely flicker, maybe a little bit.
Okay, well, it doesn't make any difference. They change the intensity. Here's what you do. Will your wife help you?
Not married.
Okay, well, find your girlfriend or something, but you'll need help on this. Next time it doesn't start, follow the positive cable to the battery or to the starter. Take a hammer. You're not hitting it to bust it. All you're doing is...
I've tried to do that, and I can't, where it's between the manifold and front-wheel drive, and you can't really get to it.
Well, get a piece of...
without jacking it up.
Okay, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I've given you all I can give you. I can't diagnose it over the radio, and I've given you all I can give you. I'd get a piece of bar and put it on the starter and hit the bar. I mean, if you can't hit the starter with the hammer, then hit it with a bar, whatever. But the only other thing you can do is... it sounds like because it starts sometimes, and it sounds like because you haven't experienced a dead battery, and it sounds like that this is a cold thing, then my guess, if you want to make a guess, is the starter and solenoid. I'd put that in.
I would agree.
Anyway, got to run. Al, you're up next. How can we help you, Al?
I've got a question about these new vehicles and all this nanny technology they put on them.
Uh-huh.
I understand that stuff's pretty cheap for the manufacturer to put in there, but... terribly expensive to fix. How much of that is mandated by the federal law or whatever? And how much is it they just put on there to run up price?
All of it.
Yeah, both. Both.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's... it depends on what you're talking about. Let's break that up just a little bit.
Let's
comforts, okay?
Sure.
And then we got emissions, comes out of the tailpipe.
Yep.
How much of this new technology, circuit boards and sensors, is creature comfort versus emissions and fuel delivery and spark? 25, 75?
Depends on the vehicle anymore.
You're right.
So many modules.
You're right. So the answer is it's correct. Most of the ones we deal with on a regular basis are going to be on the engine side, on the fuel management, timing management, emission management side. And there's lots of sensors that tell the computer when something's wrong, so it turns on the check engine light, you get it fixed, because when the check engine light is on, chances are there's a whole bunch of trash coming out of your tailpipe. The other ones are, when you sit in the seat, there's a sensor, and it turns on the seatbelt light until your fat butt buckles your seatbelt. And so that sensor's there now. There's people that disable that sensor, but I'm not a fan of that.
No, definitely not.
So, though, you're right. There's a lot of expenses, but keep in mind, too, that they're buying the seat sensor hundreds of thousands at a time. So, they're going to sell it. That seat sensor is going to go to a warehouse, and the warehouse is going to send it to a jobber, and the jobber is going to send it to a parts store, and the parts store is going to sell it to me, and I'm going to put it in your car. So you got all those people stepping on the price of that part. So even though that part still works worth 17 cents, you're still going to pay $17 for it. It doesn't make any difference.
Right.
So you bring up a good point, though, and thank you for that, Al. Thank you. That's a problem.
I like the backup mirrors, and I like the tire pressure indicator and other things, but most of the stuff, I just pull the car out in the driveway and got the manual out, sit there for about an hour and a half, and disabled all of it.
And let me tell you about my wife. I'm driving my wife's car down from the mountains the other day, and I got the speed set at 72, which is what she told me, okay? So I'm coming down, and I'm coming down the B-line, and I'm about 5 miles north of the mile marker 200, which is the Saguaro Lake turnoff. And so there's heavy traffic, so I pull in behind this car to let some faster guys go past me, and I'm just kind of cruising along talking to my wife, and she said, "Would you get out of this lane?" And I go, "There's nothing wrong with this lane." She says, get out of this lane. And then she called me a bad name. And I pulled into the, and I think, well, she's mad at me. I look down and I'm doing 65, not 72 where I set the cruise.
Right.
So I pull into the fast lane. The car speeds up. It has that technology that it keeps you back from the car in front of you.
Yep.
So he's got his cruise control set at 65, and I'm behind him. So I'm going to follow him at 65,
right,
but until I pull out.
Yep.
So she used a lot of bad words, and I'll tell you about those during the break. She said, I'm an idiot, but it wasn't a nice word. I can't say it on the radio, but... It wasn't anything that made me cry.
No.
And it wasn't anything that hadn't come out of her mouth before.
Right.
So there's all that kind of stuff. The rear view mirrors have bulbs in them or lights. So if you're going to turn on your right turn signal, it tells you don't change lanes because there's a car next to you.
Yep.
But you can't trust that all the time.
No.
Because it could be a motorcycle.
Could be a motorcycle. Yep.
And what other ones do you use and your wife uses?
Good question.
I'll help you with a couple. Backup cameras.
Backup cameras,
no
yeah.
question about those.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go, beep, 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 beep. You don't go past the beep.
No, you don't go past it, which I can say I have done.
I have too.
Yeah.
Test it.
Yeah.
Test it to see if it works.
Exactly.
And there's a mark on her bumper.
It was one of those days.
She says, why don't you drive your truck and back into the pole? And I said, I just checking the beeps. That's all. Just checking the beeps.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything else?
Backup cameras, the backup sensors, the front sensors.
Yep. Yep.
Cruise control.
Yep. Adaptive cruise control.
Adaptive, yeah. That's, yeah.
And creature comforts, the air conditioning systems and how they go to heat and back and forth.
Dual zone climate control, yep.
Yep.
That's used quite often.
Water on your windshield turns on your wipers.
Yep.
Automatic
high beam.
Oh, yeah. 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 And dimming.
And dimming,
yeah.
Yeah.
You don't use that?
No.
I
got to figure out how it works, though.
You have to ask your high school boy or
right.
your high school girl to tell you how to make
exactly.
that work.
That's what I need to.
There's some other ones that rearview mirror dimming
yep.
at night.
Yep.
What else is there? There's when you get in, you have driver number one, driver number two, so the seat moves.
Seat memory.
And seat memory and
yep.
everything cozies yep. your butt up so that you're in the right position.
Yep.
And with six-way seats, back, forward, the back goes forward and backward. The bottom tilts forward, backward, and goes up and down.
Yep.
And then mine has a vacuum cleaner on the back of it.
Spark.
I bought it for my wife. I bought it for my wife.
That's right. Yeah.
Nevertheless, there's all that kind of stuff. Well, if somebody messes up your seat and you don't have seat memory, it makes you mad.
Right.
Because they just screwed up your seat.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll tell you one of the things that I did learn the other day. We have this 2010 Camaro, and my truck was broken, so I was driving it back up and down the mountain. So I had this huge igloo. It wasn't an igloo. It was one of those fancy ice chests, if you say the name of it. The ones that are real popular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had bought one for a friend of mine, for his wife, from his wife.
Yes.
So I got it out of the car and I took it into the house. I left the door open and I had the keys in my pocket. So I went to sleep. Next morning I wake up. It's 26 degrees. I take the dogs outside and I look and I go, Camaro door's open. I'm thinking, somebody broke into it. So I walk over there and the door's wide open. There's frost all over
inside
the car. Everything. So I'm scared to shut the door because I don't know where the keys are at. And
right.
if the keys aren't close, I'll never get the door open again.
Right.
So I left the door open, and I just searched. It took me 25 minutes. Then I remembered that I had brought my shotgun home, and I had gone in and put it in the safe. And on top of the safe was the keys.
Yeah.
So then I went out, and I got it all done. But right. I don't like that automatic lock. But I'll tell you something else. The battery wasn't dead because it had turned off the dome light.
It turned it off. Yep. It knows.
So anyway, all right, who we got?
We have Mike.
Mike, good morning. How can we help you?
Morning. Morning, Mark. I have a question about the interior. 2003 Dodge Ram 3500.
Okay.
I broke the grab handle on my pillar. The
okay.
plastic came undone.
Uh-huh.
Well, those screws that hold the pillar on go into like a threaded rivet
mm-hmm.
that goes into the pillar. I was wondering where I would go. I had to remove one of them because the rivet wasn't set right, so every time I tried to spin the nut, the rivet turned, so I pulled it out. I was wondering where I could go to have that reinstalled to my pillar.
Nate?
Phoenix Body Works.
And you?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Are we rotating the I'm asking Nate. Are we rotating the thread
yes.
in there?
Yes.
Okay. What about some JB Weld? To hold it steady, just to get the bolt in there.
I suppose that's a possibility, yeah.
Put some JB Weld, which is an epoxy, around what you've got, not into the thread, so just enough to get that in there. Because really and truly, Nate, how many people have you seen broke the grab handle on their truck?
There's been a few, but...
Okay, I've never seen one.
Yeah.
So chances, what I'm saying is chances of Mike needing to replace that handle again, unless, you know, some of his buddies weigh 400 pounds and they're grabbing that handle.
That could be, yeah.
I was going to say his wife, but I chickened out.
No.
it's a common problem on it. The plastic just gives away around. It's just a plastic that's between the bolt and that rivet. And I had to pull the rivet out of my pillar.
Okay.
So I have to get the threaded rivet installed into the pillar.
Okay. Well, could we tack weld that new rivet into the pillar?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. You're going to have to go to a body shop because both of us are mechanical guys. What part of town do you live in?
I live in the East Valley.
Okay. I'd love to send you to somebody there, but I can't think. I can think of names I'm not going to send you to, but I can't think of one I am. So I would just get on the internet, go East Valley, and find somebody with good reviews. And that's what I do.
Yep.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for stumping us on the last call of the hour. We're going to be here for another hour, so if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. You should call in now. Good morning, everybody. It's 4 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, and we have another 1 hour worth of car talk. So if you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And under those circumstances, we're going to ask you to give us your name and tell us what kind of car you have and tell us what kind of symptoms you're trying to fix, or maybe the argument with your wife or your husband. We're pretty good at settling that. Sitting next to me is Nate from Strictly Diesel. He's on the east side of I-17 in Pinnacle Peak Road, and Nate's been around for 112 years working on diesels.
If only, right?
Yeah, if only.
Yeah.
People would call me on that. Have diesels been around? No. And Nate, I'll tell you when you know Nate when you go to Strictly Diesel, and it's because he has hands like tennis rackets. Now, if I were dating your daughter, you'd walk out there, and I would instantly know that the last thing I want to do is make her cry.
Exactly.
How tall are you?
6'7".
6'7". And I don't care what you say, you got your hands tucked underneath your arms right now. But you have, you could play tennis with those big dogs.
I probably could. Yeah.
So anyway, Nate and I have been friends many, many years, and I can tell you that he knows how to work on diesels, and there are times, maybe a lot of times, and maybe too many times for him, where we have to consult with him with respect to, we got this problem, what do you think? Speaking of good guys along the I-17 corridor, we got you, we got Action Auto, and we got Kurtz. And what really makes it nice is you guys all get together, and you all get along together, I should say.
Yeah, we all get along.
But Kurtz is at I-17 and Bell, northeast corner. He's been around since, let me see here, 1987. Kurt is a master tech. Jeff and Eric are both master techs, so you have three master techs at the same shop. And believe me when I tell you that Eric and Jeff, you just wave that proverbial flag in front of them like you would a bull. So you walk in and you say, I got this problem nobody else can fix. I've had it for a year, and I must have had it to five shops, and nobody can fix it. That's all you need to say. And those two guys will hunt it down. So if you're in the area of I-17 and Bell and you don't have a repair shop, may I suggest Kurtz Auto would be a good one for you to try and see what happens. And we've got a caller, so who might that be?
That would be Chris.
Chris, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. I was listening to the one caller that called in about the Mazda 2002 Protege.
Uh-huh.
The one thing he said is that it was a standard. And the one thing I would address, aside from the starter, since he said it wasn't making a clicking noise when he cranks it, is the clutch switch on the clutch pedal.
You bring up a good point. Yep. You bring up a good point.
I own an auto repair shop, and I'm a master tech as well, and we run into a bunch of those where the clutch switch goes bad on them.
Yeah, no, three heads are better than one. There's no question about that. But let me ask you, Nate, and let me ask you as well, Chris. I thought he said there was a dimming of the headlights when he hit the key.
Or I thought he did, too.
Did I miss? And I don't think the switch would cause a dimming of the headlights, but he's right. We missed that completely. So to back
the
up.
The one thing that caught my attention was the fact that he said when it was cold, he had to push further down on the clutch pedal to get it started.
Okay. All right. And I missed that. I flat out missed that.
I did too.
In my defense.
I'm just trying to help people out.
No. My wife, well, let me see. I'm the last one to raise my hand and say I never made a mistake. I tell people I make one, at least one mistake every day, and I made a big one 46 years ago when I asked that little 10-year-old girl to marry me. I gotta use those numbers or otherwise I have to explain our age versus when we got married.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. So what I'm gonna say, and we're gonna go back up to David, who had the Mazda Protege, fan the clutch pedal. Hold the key to the start position, make sure it's in neutral, and fan the clutch pedal real hard. And if that switch, I think you'll agree, if that switch is faulty or if it's intermittent, I think you'd find it there.
Yep.
And exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, David, thank you. Thank you for calling us, and thank you for reminding us that we missed it. And it's okay with us. Our feelings aren't hurt.
Yeah.
So we didn't ask.
No, it happens. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, and I'm the first one to say I could use all the help I can get. That's why Nate here's today, is he's here to do that. Anyway, thank you. Right. Thank you, Chris, very much. And, Chris, what part of town is your shop at?
Well, here's what the crazy thing is. I just moved out to Arizona. I own a shop in the Bay Area, and I'm looking to sell it. Finalize the move here.
Oh, okay.
The wife wants me here full time. I can't keep commuting back and forth to the Bay Area.
And are you a mechanical, paint and body? What do you do?
Mechanical. I own an auto repair shop with Tentec.
Okay. If you want to use me and ask questions about the market, I've been in Tempe since 1968. And I've been in the car repair business since 1979. Actually, in 1968, I worked at a gas station, but I wasn't very old. But markmarksalem.com. I'd be happy to help you. I'm not doing this for any nefarious reason. I'm not hoping you don't move into my neighborhood, because if you do, I get along with all my neighbors anyway. So if
Mark,
you want,
honestly, I've been a master tech since I became a tech, and I went to UTI here in Arizona. I told the wife one day we're moving back to Arizona. I want to get out of the auto repair industry. You had another guy that was talking about all electronics on cars.
Yeah.
In the Bay Area, I have four dealers that send me vehicles, and they can't even diagnose their own vehicle.
Yeah.
It's getting to a point to where it's gotten so far advanced and so electronic. Even the dealership have no idea what's going on with these cars.
Oh, I agree. There's a guy up in North Scottsdale, Goody, and he does Mercedes. Now, Goody won't say this, but I know from the parts people that there are Mercedes-Benz places that send their Benzes to Wood. Now, first of all, in Goody's defense, he's really good, but he's really good from day one on Mercedes. So he knows the old ones, and he can go to the new ones.
Yeah.
So, and at dealerships and independent shops, we oftentimes have youngsters that don't have that kind of experience. So there's no harm, no foul in us asking a senior shop to guide us or help us. So you're not going to get into the auto shop business?
No, I'm probably going to end up going with maybe Auto Parts Warehouse, or I'll go with AC Delco. I've got jobs lined up for sales. It's just too hard to get into this industry right now, and it's too hard to keep up with it.
Okay.
My shop in the Bay Area spends $100,000 a year on software for these new scan tools and everything.
Yeah, scanners and stuff. Okay, let me tell you, in Phoenix, though, in the Phoenix metropolitan area, if you're going to talk to parts people, I'm going to suggest you talk to three for sure. The big dogs in this city is Parts Authority, Factory Motor Parts, and Worldpack.
Okay.
Now, I can tell you that there's lots of other, I'll just name them, AutoZones, O'Reilly's, CarQuest, Napa. But if you're going to go to the big dogs and you want to work parts, Factory, Parts Authority, and Worldpack. in that order. and it's not, and as a matter of fact, you might very well blend in with WorldPAC because their administration is in California.
And we use WorldPAC quite a bit.
Okay. So you already have a relationship, you know their parts lines, you know everything. So I would think that that's how you do it. Now, I think there's only one WorldPAC warehouse in town. It's in Tempe.
So. Yeah, I think so.
It's like Apache and Hayden, somewhere around there. So if you need contact information for the guys that make the decisions, I'd be happy to help you with that as well. Because
definitely.
I could guide you with factory WorldPAC and that, and I'm happy to do that because they're happy to have somebody with your kind of experience. Plus, your wife would have you home on Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, she's got me home on Saturdays. I've got it down now where I've got my techs working 4 to 10. So we work Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I'm on a flight every Thursday night out here. So I'm here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then on Monday morning, I fly back.
Okay. All right. That's
And that... ironically speaking, this is probably the best move in the world. I love this state. This is amazing.
Well, it's
good. California's gone down the tube.
It's a good thing you got here early because me and a bunch of old cowboys are thinking about making that Colorado River about a mile wide and a mile deep. and I'm just saying we're thinking about it. We're working on the excavators that are big enough to do that. And if we ever have a huge earthquake, I pray that the Colorado River along that side of our state may create a physical barrier that would prevent travel, but that would hurt us for the what do they call it? Disneyland things.
Disneyland.
But we can go to Florida.
We can go to Florida.
Other
things here, exactly.
Yeah. All righty, Chris. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. No
All
problem.
Righty. Good luck to you. 602-508-0960. I think we have another caller. Who might that be?
That would be Rick.
Rick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. A 2007 Acura TSX. Two issues, okay?
Okay.
First one I think is easy. The front end is really, really, really low. And for years I've scraped parking curbs. But recently the parking curb was bigger than normal. And when I backed up, it pulled out my whole front end about 3 inches.
Yeah.
Now I pushed it back in, but obviously those little rivets or whatever they call them need to be replaced. Where would be a good place? I'm in North Scottsdale. Where would be a good place, you know, that is going to kill me to get that fixed, or is that an expensive thing?
I would stop by, what's Andy Val's place up there? Rain Tree Auto Body. I'd stop by Rain Tree Auto Body and talk to them. But if all you need is the rivets, then you can get those anywhere you want. So
yeah, but I'm old, crippled, arthritic. No,
just tough. When you go by Rain Tree Auto Body, tell those guys that Mark Salem sent you, and tell them that I promise not to release the photos.
1 minute.
Of Andy, who's the big shot there, that I have of his, as long as they treat you nice. And so that's Andy and his boys have Rain Tree Auto, and they're in Hayden and Rain Tree. Another thing, if the front end's real low on that car you've got, that Acura, then to fix that, you would put a strut and spring assembly on the front of that. And that would bring it back up to where you're not going to hit those parking blocks because the strut doesn't hold the car up, but the spring does, and the spring is around the strut. So buying the strut and the spring as a package is the best thing for you to do, and that's not something that you're going to be able to do yourself. So that's just a suggestion to you. But thank you. Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you. It is kind of tough to gather up those springs.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to have all the necessary equipment. But it's nice to get a package like that, depending on the mileage, and of course. But it's
safer.
It's easier.
Safer also.
Yeah, because when one of those springs goes, bring, everybody hits the ground because they don't know where that thing's going to bounce. It doesn't happen very often. It only happened at my shop once a week. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are right open. We'll be right back. We normally have a whole lot of callers this segment, so if you want to jump in, you can. There's three lines open. We've got two taken right now, 602-508-0960. You have a car question, 602-508-0960, 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Let me tell you real quick about Larry Harker's Auto. To get my list of best car repair shops in the Phoenix area, just go to marksalem.com. Click on Best Car Repair Shops. I have paint and body shops, transmission shops, and mechanical shops, and these are shops that I promise you. I know the owners. I have their cell phone numbers. These guys are the best this valley has to offer. Larry Harker is at 38th Avenue and Indian School is exactly one of them I talk about. Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto. They've been around since 1967. Bob's a master and he has Jeremy. I think that's his son-in-law in the shop. Jeremy is one of only two or four master ASC certified technician. He's taken every ASC test they have. School buses, diesels, cars, trucks, gas, electric cars, everything. He's passed them all.
He likes tests.
Oh, man. So you got to know what you're doing in order to pass those kinds of tests.
Sure.
So Harker's does oil changes and everything else. However, if you've got a problem with your car and nobody else has been able to fix it, my suggestion would be certainly they would be one of your first three shops to call and make an appointment and have them look at it. So that's Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Mike, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hi, how you doing, Mark? I have a 2007, it's actually my wife's car, the 2007 Lincoln Mark LT.
Okay.
And I changed the spark plugs out and all the coil packs at about $100,000. It's got like 110,000 miles on it, but here lately it's developed like a mist. You go down the highway, it's just like a little mist. When you're idling, it'll mist. But there's nothing on the no sensors, nothing on the dash is coming up.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stumped about that. I asked a friend that really works on cars, and he talked to me maybe it was the cam sensors.
Yeah, I'm not gonna agree about that.
What brand of spark plug did you put on when you did the tune-up?
It's a Motorcraft.
Motorcraft, okay.
The Platinum, whatever they had. Whatever they was recommended for the Lincoln.
Okay.
I did the Motorcraft. I didn't do all the coil packs are all stand. You know, all OEM standard from Ford.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you about that. There's three parts of that coil pack spark plug. In the middle between the coil pack and the spark plug is a boot. It just looks like a piece of windshield washer stuff.
Right.
Did you put those on?
They all came when I bought them. I bought the whole thing.
Okay. I don't know what I don't know how to diagnose it. What you hope is that you're going to get an engine misfire code, and then it's going to say cylinder 5, and then what we do is we take the coil and swap it with 7 and put 7 with 5 and see if the problem moves. But if you wanted to and you already put the coil packs on, did you use any dielectric grease?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you've covered all the bases that I know of. I would, and folks, what we got is the coil, and then it has a hot tang on it, and then there's a little boot that slides over that, and then the other end of the boot slides over the spark plug, and we use dielectric so that rubber doesn't bake in that environment. Plus, dielectric seals out the water and the dust and all that. It's like a petroleum jelly, but it's called dielectric grease. Every technician should have a tube of that in their toolbox.
Absolutely.
For electrical connections galore. So the other thing you could do is you could wet one half of the motor with a light spray of water and go drive it and see if it gets worse. At least you know what side it's on. And if it didn't get worse, spray the other side, see what happens. But if you get a code... Now, another thing, too, is if you're in overdrive and you're going down the road at 50, 55 miles an hour, if you pull it down one gear and take it out of overdrive, can you still feel the slight vibration caused by the miss?
No, it seems to me when I accelerate, it goes away.
Okay, is it possible?
I got all the power, no problem.
And with the age, why couldn't it be the overdrive going in and out?
I don't feel the overdrive going in and out.
Okay, do this.
Actually, it does it when I idle.
Okay.
Every once in a while, you sit idle and you can hear that little that little pump.
Okay, the other thing you could do is disconnect the electrical when you get that at idle. just disconnect right. not the high tension part of the coil, but the electrical part of the coil.
Okay.
And right. see if okay. the, because if you disconnect 7 and it's really 5, you'll have two problems. You'll have the miss plus the other noise. But if you disconnect right. the noise, it'll change the noise and it won't cause anything. Yep. So you might yep. try that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. Rick, I think you had something else you wanted to talk about with that Acura.
Yeah, the same 2007 Acura, low speeds. And I have had someone look at this and they couldn't find anything. But like coming out of a stoplight or even from a slow speed, accelerating 10 to, say, 40, I get this strong buzz sound that even passengers notice, and it appears to be coming from the driver's side, almost where the dash is, and it sounds like exhaust, and I was confident it was exhaust, manifold exhaust, but I'm told, no, the exhaust system's in perfect shape, there's nothing wrong. But it is consistent every time I accelerate that low speed up to about 40.
Some okay. motor mount or trans mount or
yeah it could be a mount. Here's the problem: noises are impossible to do on the radio. Somebody has to hear the noise, and yeah. you also need to change your climate controls from off to defrost to center vent to floor to hot to cold. Because we could have some kind of a motor running the blend door or whatever. So you need to play with the climate controls to see if you can change it. That's all you're looking for is a change.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what part of town do you live in right now?
Well, once again, North Scottsdale. So it would be Rain Tree Auto again?
Well, it would be Blackwell because this is more of a mechanical issue, I think. So if you learn how to make it happen every single time you do X, then on
yeah.
don't go in on Monday or Friday afternoons for Monday mornings or Friday afternoon for obvious reasons. But stop or call Blackwell and say, I want to stop by. Salem said you have bad ears, but I thought I'd have you take a look at this. And he didn't have nice things to say about you anyway, but he said I might try you and just see what happens. I'm not telling you to mention my name because I get money. I'm telling you to mention my name because that means you and I have talked. That's all.
You're okay.
All righty. Thanks, Rick. All righty. Oh, Action Auto Repair. We talked about him already.
We did.
We talked about he does a good job.
Yeah.
And he's also a good snowmobiler. And he always drives to Wisconsin once a week.
Does he really?
Straight through. And I ask him how many cases of beer he uses, and he just stuck his tongue out at me. I know he's not drinking on
right.
there. But he has a place in Wisconsin that's really cool.
Oh, nice.
And he drives there, and he works on it, and then he drives home. And I said, well, if it takes you a day to get there and a day home, how does that work? And he says, well, I'm the owner. I can come in Monday at noon.
right. Yeah.
But not too long ago, he fell off a ladder and got hurt seriously.
Oh.
And so he's out there in the boondocks with nobody else around. So I don't know how he did that, but he did pull it off. But nevertheless, Action Auto's at I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. I've known Tom since the early 80s. He opened up his shops in 1983, and he knows what he's doing. He has really great technicians, and then most of them are ASE Master certified. So if you live anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley, then it's a good idea to, if you don't have a shop, then try Action Auto Repair. Do you remember when we had those old engine analyzers that came out in the 70s and the 80s, and they were called scopes, and everybody came in and said, put it on the box? Remember those?
Yeah.
They had two of them. They had a Bear, and then they had an Allen. And Allen was marketed by John Rang, and the Bear was marketed by David Jones.
Okay.
And they were – I remember I paid more money in 1983 – for my scope, my engine analyzer, than I did my first house. I paid $41,000 for the engine analyzer, and I paid $33,000 for my first house.
Wow.
Everybody thought you just hook the car up and the thing would tell you what's the matter with it. Tom represented the Allen side, and I bought the Bear side. And John Rang, who owned the company, was really mad at me that I wasn't smart enough to buy his product. But Tom was kind of in the middle of all of that, but
right.
we've been friends since then.
Nice.
And we still tease one another that he says that I'm the dumbest guy he met because I didn't buy an Allen. And I told him he's the dumbest guy I've ever met because he sold Allen. He didn't know the difference, but nevertheless,
nice.
That's how it works. We're going to be back just right after this. Well, 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Mark Salem with Nate here from Strictly Diesel. And Nate is flying my wingman. And he's doing a lot of shaking his head. So I can only tell you that. And then in breaks he goes, "You really said that?" I say, "Yeah, yeah, why not?"
We have a good time though.
Yeah, Thompson's Auto Repair is in Mesa. He's the only shop in Mesa that I can tell you that I suggest that you go there. He's a good guy. Him and Thelma run the operation. Both of their families go back to the 60s in gas station and mechanical service. So both Brian and Thelma, long before they got married, both of their families were deep into the auto repair business in, with respect to Mesa. So they may be the second generation of their family, but it goes back a long time. So they're on Main Street, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. And I promise you this, when you meet Brian and Thelma, you'll understand why I think they're a great couple. You'll understand why they're good people, and I know they're going to treat you right. So it's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Got a couple of Christmas things I got to take care of. There is a facility that it's called instrumentsforsuccess.org. And what they have is they ask people to donate instruments, and then they rehab the instruments. And then they've donated 100 instruments to 409 veterans. So if you have one of these old instruments around your house that nobody's used in a long time, mark at marksalem.com, and I'll put you in touch with them. Guitars, bass amplifiers, keyboards, keyboard amplifiers, drums, cymbals, microphones, music stands, trumpets, saxophones, tubas, trombones, clarinets, tambourines, and cowbells. That pretty much covers everything that's ever been involved
in
music. Yeah, got the cowboy. So if you have any of those and you want to donate them to somebody, 100% of what you give goes to somebody else, and typically it's a veteran. That's all they really deal with is veterans. Now, this is kind of Christmas stuff for those that wake up Christmas morning and they go, "Gosh, I wish I would have." Okay? So my family's been involved in the Secret Santa Club, and the reason why it's called Secret Santa Club is because nobody knows the people that are in it. It's all secret. The only one that steps up front is me, which is a good thing. We're in our 30th year. Okay? Now, people, my vendors, my customers, people donate money to us, and this is what we do. We find people at rest homes that have no family. So we go in, like we just came from a store the other day. One gentleman wanted some sweatpants, and he wanted some sweatshirts because he's cold, and we got him some slippers. We got him a shaver, some more shaving stuff. We got him some Brute or Aqua Velva. He wanted a fedora, and we found one.
Oh, wow.
So we go in, and we have others help us, and we go in and take care of those people who have no families, so no one to make their Christmas special. We've donated 508 turkeys to three food banks. We've had presents for the sick kids at St. Joe's, blankets, food for the homeless, hundreds of presents for 70 kids in 9 group homes, and those kids typically have no one really taking care of them, 55 blankets for the homeless, 60 elderly people at Friendship Village. That was the one that really grabbed me. Blankets, clothes, robes, slippers, stuffed animals for 10 adults at a nursing home. These are the things. At the end of the day, we have been on it. Like I say, this is our 30th year, and we have dealt with $205,756. Everybody that wants it, we give them a tape, and all the names of everybody, they get that to document it, and there's no administration cost. And again, Renee and I match the highest donation. There's been a couple of my friends that have taken me to the limit. And so I'm not going to tell you who they are, but that's
awesome.
Okay. No, that's okay with us.
Yeah.
So the thing we're doing is we, like many of us, wake up sometimes empty Christmas morning that we could have done better, we wish you should have done better. At the end of this, we send everybody a reconciliation, how much we raised and what all we did. Now, when we go into Bash's or Safeway, they almost always help us with the turkeys because we have a relationship with them. So if it's 10 cents a pound and you're allowed two turkeys, sometimes they'll bring a cart out for a lot. And we make sure those turkeys go. And one of the other things that we just did, Tempe, they bring in this big truck that has showers. And they bring it in like once a month for the homeless people. So we made packages of deodorant, shampoo, shavers, everything you would need to go in and come out feeling and looking better. Underwear and t-shirts and stuff like that, socks and stuff. So that was one of the things that we donated to last year that gave my wife and my daughter an extra special feel good. If you want to help us, then you can help us. So mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. The only thing you're not going to get is a list of the participants. That's top secret.
Right.
And so there are people who refer people to us, and so those two people know one another, but nobody else does. So that's called the Secret Santa Club, mark@marksalem.com, if you're interested in helping us make Christmas special for those that wouldn't otherwise get it, then that would be a good way to start. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back. Salem and Nate from Strictly Diesel. Nate has been a friend of mine for a very long time. He's east of I-17, Pinnacle Peak Road. If you have a diesel, nobody else can fix it. Nate can. If you live in that geographical area within about a 5-10 mile radius, you probably want to have a relationship with Strictly Diesel. Ford, Chevy, Dodge. That it?
That's about it, yeah.
No Mercedes, no Internationals.
No Internationals, even though that's Ford, but yeah, no.
Yeah, it's the Ford diesel, the Power Stroke.
Yep.
And then you got the Chevrolet diesel, which is called the
Duramax,
and then you got the Dodge, which is called a Cummins.
Cummins.
So yeah. Those are the big dogs.
Those are the big dogs, yeah.
So from one ton down,
yep,
bumper to bumper,
yep,
and then also upgrades if they want to do that.
Upgrades if they want to do it,
yeah.
You bet.
If they want to go a little faster or whatever, whatever. Okay, Auto Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete auto repair. I've known Chuck Nidey since 1968. His son Derek now operates and runs Auto Dynamics. Chuck opened this in 1982. Auto Dynamics and his staff of technicians are not paid a commission or percentage of a repair bill. Therefore, they can ensure and promise you that no one will sell you or install unnecessary parts or repairs. So if you're in Sun City and you haven't quite found a place that you really enjoy going to and that they know you personally, may I suggest Auto Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Auto Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. I've got a gas 1999 Suburban 5.7.
Okay.
I hit the switch and it goes pop. That's it. And I hit the switch again and pop, and that's it. And all I've done to it is, well, a couple of 3 years ago I put in a new fuel pump, but lately I put in a set of plugs, and it's about all I've done to it.
Okay, so let me go back. When you hit the key, it cranks over, but there's a backfire?
Yeah. Not a backfire, just a it acts like it just pops once and that's it. Like, well, I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but it sounds like no fuel there.
Okay, so I need to ask some questions. You hit the key and forget the popping and all that. It'll crank until the battery's dead, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So when you hit the key, there's a noise that you're describing as a pop, and at that point you know it's not going to fire up. It'll crank still, but it's not firing up.
Correct.
Okay, I want you to try something. When you turn the key on, most of computer cars, we're going to run the electric fuel pump from 3 to 5 seconds. And that's all we're going to run it. And we don't care if there's a crank signal. We're going to keep it running when we see the engine start. So in your particular case, and does this do it every time or only after it sits at night, or when does it do it?
Oh, I've had to leave it. I've had to walk away from it overnight, and totally unreliable.
Okay,
I didn't quite get what you were referring to about
the fuel pump.
letting the fuel turn the key on and let it
prime
for before
yes.
I hit it. Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to run off the top of the tank. I don't want you to drop below half. When you turn the key on, you can count to 3, 4, 5, and then you can turn it off, and you can do that 2 or 3 times. And then if you come back to me and say, Mark, if I hit the key immediately, it cranks, but it doesn't catch. Those are the key words. It cranks, but it doesn't start.
Okay.
But if I cycle the key on, count to 3, turn it off, count to 3, turn it back on, count to 3, every time I do that, Mark, it starts right up. And what's going on there is we're losing pressure as the vehicle sits there. So you're having to reprime the pressurized fuel system in your fuel-injected Suburban. I have some other questions. Do you smell rotten eggs?
No.
Has your fuel economy gone really bad in a short period of time?
How do you tell on a damn Suburban?
Okay, fair enough. I like honest questions. What I'm thinking about is if he's got a bad fuel pressure regulator, his fuel economy is going to go to hell,
yeah.
And he's going to smell that catalytic converter. And the fuel pressure regulator would cause the fuel to bleed down over a short period of time.
Yep.
Another thing you can do is have your wife turn the key on, and you take the gas cap off and just put your ear next to the tank. You should be able to hear the buzz of the fuel pump. So, again, we have to determine if this is spark or fuel. I'm not going to focus on the pop you've got because I think that's going to send me in the wrong direction. The real issue is when you crank it and it doesn't start, are we missing spark or fuel? That's the real issue. And the fact that it starts and runs like it normally does would tell me, and correct me if I'm wrong, the distributor's okay. The distributor's fine. You haven't lost timing. The timing chain's good. So all of that stuff drives spark. And you have a fuel-injected motor, so it actually does fuel as well. But the backfire could be a backfire as a lean condition because we're not getting enough fuel. But the real question that has to be answered before that vehicle is ever going to be fixed is, what am I missing? Now, can you take the duct work off the front of the engine with just loosening that big clamp and moving it aside?
The duct work.
Yeah, it's from the air cleaner to the mouth of the motor. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Okay, there's just one. It's got an oval. It's got a black corrugated what do they call that?
Gauntlet or...
Yeah. It's a bellows kind of looking thing.
Right.
It stretches. So you take the clamp off that and you just set it aside. You buy yourself a can of carb spray at the local auto parts store. And you hit it, cranks, and doesn't do anything. Then you say to your wife, I want you to hold the throttle down maybe a quarter inch. You get out, and you say, don't start it till I tell you. And you give it a 5-second spray in the mouth of the motor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Step aside, because if it backfires, I don't want it to burn all the hair off your face. Then you say, hit it, honey. She hits it. It starts. Da-da-da. It goes, da-da-da-da-da. Boo. It dies. You got a fuel starvation problem. So the pump's bad, the filter's plugged, the fuel pressure regulator's bad. So that's not hard to diagnose as long as you're standing there when it's there. But if you walk into a shop and say, intermittently it cranks but doesn't start, doesn't catch, doesn't run. But if I spray carb spray in there and it starts and runs for a second and then it dies, you just saved yourself $50 to $75 worth of diagnostic time.
Absolutely.
Does that all make sense?
Yep.
What part of town... Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Without saying the name of the shop, do you have a shop you trust?
Not really.
Okay, what part of town do you live in?
Patsy Junction.
I go to Thompson's on Stapley in Maine. I know Brian and Thelma can work with you on this. There's been times, they're extreme, they're far apart, and it's usually a customer. We'll put a fuel pressure gauge on that, and we'll tape it to the outside of the windshield so you can watch it. However, that fuel gauge is worth probably $300. So we really hate to have those stolen. But it's not uncommon for us to put a fuel gauge on a car, and within 2 days, people will help us diagnose the car by just watching the gauge.
That,
Fuel pressure gauge?
Fuel pressure gauge. But they're going to do a lot of work before they come to that.
Yeah.
But if you just go there and say this, it cranks, the speed of the crank, the cranking is fine. It just doesn't catch. Sometimes I have to walk away from it. Sometimes I walk over, boom, hit the key, and it fires right up. So I'll tell you something else it could be. That 99 Suburban in the fuse panel has some relays. And what I've done in the past is take the air conditioning relay, which is exactly like the fuel pump relay, and I switch the two of
them.
Because the fuel pump relay takes a lot more beating than the air conditioning relay does. So if you wanted to, this is what you do. You get out your owner's manual and you identify the square boxes in the picture of your owner's manual of the fuse panel. And I think it's underneath the hood.
Then I looked at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want you to swap the AC. And now, when you pull the relay out, I want you to wiggle, 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 wiggle back and forth. I don't want you to muscle it. I don't want you to break the housing.
Right.
Take the AC and the fuel pump and switch them. And if the problem goes away, raise your right hand. I promise the next time the plate passes me, I'll put in extra money. So you're going to make a donation, even if it's a Salvation Army kettle on the outside of Walmart.
Yeah.
You make, because if that fixes it, then you need a relay. That's all you need.
Yep.
Okie doke.
That relay also regulated by the oil pressure?
You know, I don't know that. I'd have to look at a schematic. But it's possible.
I did.
Go ahead.
I did look at a YouTube.
Oh boy. Okay.
And this guy was a real diagnostic guy, though. This wasn't somebody off the street. And he went through the whole schematic on this relay. And he was showing how the oil pressure switch.
Oil pressure switch. Let me address that real quick for you. First of all, I can be the world's best gynecologist and represent that on the internet. Okay? I can send you diagrams. I know you're shaking your head, but you know what? It's funnier than hell. I can send you reproductive photograms, you know, things of all. You just don't know. I'll tell you what I tell everybody else. If this guy was so good at diagnosing cars over the internet through the customer's eyes, he'd be working for me for $75,000 to $100,000 a year. So there's lots of guys out there that have all kinds of guesses, but it's only a guess. To answer your question, I think the fuel pressure will shut the solenoid, the fuel pressure switch will shut the solenoid down or the relay down for your fuel pump if it loses oil pressure. If it loses oil pressure. So as long as you don't have any rattling from the lifters and as long as you're not running a quart or more low on oil, then that guy's full of bull manure. So you can replace the oil pressure switch if you want. And you can have all those YouTube gurus tell you what to do, but I'm suggesting that the diagnostic process for the fuel pump might be $50 to $75 as long as they can duplicate your problem when they're doing their diagnosis. So if you want, I would say to you, replace the fuel filter, replace the fuel pressure regulator, replace the fuel pump relay, and then if that doesn't work, then replace the pump inside the tank, and now I've spent $2,000 of your money and just guessing. So, I'm not beating you up. I'm just mad at the guys on the internet that represent themselves that they can do what I can't do. And I can assure you I have more experience and more gray hair than most of those guys do. But the thing of it is I can't even diagnose things over the radio. And I get to ask you questions.
2 minutes.
So, it's just kind of a tough thing to go. But anyway, Tom, I think Thompson's would be the best guy for you, and I'm quite sure they can fix that. Nate, thanks for spending your Saturday with me.
Hey, this is awesome.
If I've said anything that is embarrassing you, then just send me an email, and I'll use some bad language to reply. I'm just teasing you. No issues. We do have fun.
We do.
And there's probably going to be some ladies that roll their eyes, and I apologize sincerely to them. There's going to be some guys that shake their heads and laugh, but they don't usually do it in front of their wives.
Exactly. Yeah.
But nevertheless, thank you for spending your Saturday with me.
Great to be here.
If our listeners have want to talk to me personally, then send me an email, mark@marksalem.com. Let me tell you that I'm going to call from a blocked line if you leave me your phone number. And that kind of give-and-take discussion really benefits both of us. It may be a day or so away,
1 minute,
because I got a lot to do. But on the other hand, when you answer the phone, don't say anything. And I'm going to say, this is Mark Salem. If you sent me an email about your 99 Suburban, then can we talk? I'm going to say that as fast as I can so that you know I'm not one of those idiots that calls. So you don't even have to say hello. It comes through as a block number or whatever the number it comes through, block number, I think.
Yeah.
And but if you just pick it up, don't say a word, then I'm going to say, this is Mark Salem, as fast as I can. And so if you sent me an email, then we can talk. You know how tough that is. Sometimes I have to call once and say, okay, I'm going to call you back in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk. But if you're not there to get the message, then we play tag a lot.
Yep.
Anyway, drive safely. Wear your seatbelt. Don't be afraid to give somebody else the benefit of the doubt. And it's the holidays. So if somebody needs to pull out of a garage and you're on the street, then stop and let them out. Merry Christmas.